This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. David Nussbaum has years invested in the whole idea of creating what are called holograms, but aren't, for high-profile concerts and other events. If you remember seeing video of the Coachella Festival a few years ago, and rapper Tupac coming back to life to perform, that was done, and many similar events that followed, using a very old visual trick called Pepper's Ghost. Nussbaum was part of the company that bought the patent rights after the Tupac event, and he had a hand in nearly all the holograms that came after it for the next few years. Nussbaum then went on his own, creating a company that does the same sort of thing, but in a very different way, and with a very different business model and proposition. He took transparent LCD display technology that's most commonly used for grocery fridge marketing and tweaked the hell out of it to create more, better light and visuals. The result is a company called Portal and a product he calls HoloPortal, which does what he calls single passenger holoportation. That sounds way too Star Trek-y for me, but in simple terms, his company has developed a process to capture people on camera and show them in lifelike size on one of his closet-like display units. The idea is that someone, let's say a politician, could make a personal appearance, talk, and field questions without actually going there. There are a bunch of potential applications for this sort of thing, and while this is not pure digital signage, one of these units could absolutely find a home in a flagship store or other places like a museum. David, thank you for grabbing some time with me. You're out in LA, right?
Yes. Been living here on and off for the last 20 years.
Nice. I'm looking out my window and it's snowing and cold and the wind's blowing and I'm wishing I was in Los Angeles right now.
Well, I thought that for a long time when I grew up on the East Coast of the United States. And so I made the decision just to move out here.
So I bumped into Portal a couple of weeks ago online and thought, well, this is interesting. I wouldn't even begin to try to explain it, so I'm going to let you explain what it's all about.
Well, Portal started as an idea when I was working for a much larger hologram effect and illusion entertainment company called Hologram USA. I used to run that company where we were doing giant Pepper's Ghost stages and we were bringing all the dead stars back as digital resurrections and putting them on tour. Very, you know, it's what everybody, when they close their eyes and they think about what a hologram is, they think of Tupac, they think of Michael Jackson. And those are the kinds of shows that I used to do.
Okay.
But over the years, it was very clear to me that not everybody had millions of dollars for for this kind of technique, a holographic effect technique. And as a greedy salesman, I want to make as many sales as possible. And I said, what can I do to still give people that holographic effect without it costing millions of dollars? So I saw a transparent display from a trade show in China. It was a small little like 12-inch light box that had a watch inside and some overlay graphics. And I said, if I could make that life size and forget about putting stuff inside, but if I use the same type of a content creation technique and create the illusion of real size people on this transparent display within the three dimensions of an actual, museum quality display case, maybe we can do something here. So that's how Portal was born.
Okay. So this is not that dissimilar from the companies out there that make fridges for the chiller aisles in grocery where they're, putting stuff on there, whether it's the product itself or promotional messaging. It's just kind of a variation on that with some special sauce that you guys have come up with.
Yeah, it's not completely dissimilar. But yes, this is our take on that. It's really not a product display piece. This is more of a holographic effect display piece. And then the thing that separates us from everything else on the market is the fact that our ability is to beam from any place to any other place in real time. So our portal hologram projection machines can be networked together, and you can beam from the safety and security of your own campaign headquarters, if say you're running for office, into all locations at the exact same time. And because we've got onboard computers and cameras and speakers, the audience you're being beamed in front of as a holographic effect, you'll be able to hear, see, and interact with them in real time. So think like hologram Skype, but on a much larger scale.
So this would have been the way for Hillary Clinton to get to Wisconsin.
Well, this could have helped. That's for sure.
We're virtually there. Now, the challenge with the transparent LCD displays, and this is an LCD, right?
It's a transparent 4K. It's a modified LCD. We've, like you said, there is some secret sauce and some magic to it. But ultimately, yeah, that's exactly what we're working with.
And the challenge is being getting enough light to drive the visuals so that they're bright and sharp and the colors are rich instead of looking a little bit washed out. How have you overcome that?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, because this is like our seventh or eighth version of this, we determined a long time ago that light was extremely necessary. In fact, it's one of the most important things that that you need when building a display like this. So we flooded it with 18,000 lumens of rear, top, and side light. In fact, it's a completely self-contained light box inside of the machine itself, so that the light is evenly distributed from all directions, really creating a solid image and illuminating the content basically as bright as you could, as bright as you want it. We could even sit these things outside in the sun and it wouldn't wash out the image.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive challenge. You got to be at least 3,500 nits really to cut through the sun. So you're way beyond that.
We wanted to overdo it. But one of the fun things is, let's say you're inside, maybe you're in a lounge or a club or some dark space, and you don't need all that brightness. Mm-hmm. Well, we've added either an indoor and outdoor switch, which you could use just to, you know, separate it from the amount of light. Or if you want to fine tune it, there are dimmers on the back. So you could turn sections off, you could turn sections on. It's, you know, we've made this as user-friendly as possible. So works in dark spaces, works in super bright, well-lit spaces. It's kind of a one-size-fits-all.
Now, I've only seen video of this on YouTube and so on. It almost seems like there's some dimensionality to the visuals, and it doesn't look like just a totally flat surface like you would see with projection onto projection glass. Is there something going on there?
Yeah. Well, look, Dave, thank you for saying that. And I do give all the credit to the producers I've been working with for years, as far back as when I was running Hologram USA. When you do something enough, like with anything, with podcasts, I'm sure this podcast, you sound better on this podcast than you did on 200 episodes ago when you know, anytime you do something enough, you figure things out. You learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, we've really developed a technique that even though it's not a volumetric video, which could be very expensive and very, you know, takes up a lot of memory and a lot of time, and we've managed to make a two-dimensional video look completely three-dimensional and volumetric with time-tested techniques. In fact, we even have a patent pending on the process of how to take a flat image and make it look as realistic as the videos that you've seen on YouTube and LinkedIn.
And the other thing I noticed is that there are shadows. You can see the shadows by the person's feet and so on. And that made me think that, okay, is this actually real or not? Because I'm seeing shadows in the whole bit. So is that kind of left in there? You created that lighting in such a way so it would do that to kind of make people wonder, okay, what am I really seeing here?
Nine times out of 10, a comment on one of my videos is like, you know, that's just a real person in a box. That's not real. You guys are all being fooled. This guy's a charlatan. Thing is, and that makes me smile. Like, I get angry, yeah, and then I get happy. I said, okay, wait, this is actually a compliment, because it's not a guy in a box. It's a two-dimensional display being projected on a clear panel that sits inside of a three-dimensional space. And the way that we produce the content, the way we use the light, the way that we use reflection and shadows, maybe even add some, just some grittiness. Very rarely is someone standing in a perfectly clean space. Like, maybe there's a smudge on the floor. I mean, we add real life elements into our productions. These are movies for us. These are, we are, you know, this is, we take this very seriously. We're not just trying to, you know, beam somebody from here to there or create some content and then play it back. We want to make it look like there's a guy in a box, you know, so that when you walk up to it, only when you put your nose up to that front panel can you really see it flattening out. And we take a lot of pride in our production technique. It's not just a light box with a clear, you know, LCD. It's the combination of, you know, 10 years of production, education and this device that we've developed over the years. So it's a bit of a marriage between the two.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the use case of politics. What do you see as the primary applications for this?
Well, with politics, it's simple. Very famously, Narendra Modi, the now Prime Minister of India, used my former company's patented technology to beam, again, from the safety and security of his own campaign headquarters into over 2,000 locations over 3 weeks of time, beamed into 100 hologram trucks every day for 3 straight weeks, essentially generating way more sets of eyeballs on his message than his now predecessor. And he virtually, you know, beamed himself into power. So there is no secret that I've been approached by a number of American presidential candidates. Some of them are not available to go on the campaign trail right now because of what's happening in Washington with the news of the day with the impeachment thing. So how else can somebody beam from one place into many places that they can't physically be at? So that is one use case, which I think is a very exciting way to, promote yourself without it being a novelty. Really separate yourself. But look, this could be in every museum. This could be in every mall. This is certainly for retail and hospitality, hotel lobbies. This is a virtual information desk. I'd like to see every cardboard cutout standee that people take selfies with at the movie theaters. I'd like to see them replaced with the hologram portal and with the physical actor in character performing in that piece. Mm-hmm. So it can be used a million different ways.
Now, in a lot of those cases, that could be forwarding a completed file and storing it locally and then just putting it on a repeating loop, which would be a lot easier technically than doing live streaming. Is that part of the business model as well?
Right, yeah. I mean, 90% of our business will be pre-recording content, doing all kinds of fun After Effects and content post-production, and then putting it either in as a loop or through, you know, motion detection. Maybe somebody, let's say you're a mall or a retail store, and then a visitor to your store or potential customer walks by, motion detector sees that you're there, and then all of a sudden the avatar or person or holographic virtual salesperson materializes and says, oh, I see you're standing in front of the hologram portal. Why don't you come over here and let me tell you about some of the things that we have going on at the store today? Or do you have any questions? You know? And so that is mostly what we'll be using this machine for. But the live is, I think, what separates us from every other device that is on the market today.
Now, you've done some demos at like Comic-Con in LA and so on, where you did the live streaming. That's in on a largely controlled network where you don't have to worry about 20 router hops or any of those things. I suspect the challenge is pretty substantial when you're going across the country and it's not on the same network. So you've got to negotiate routers and everything else. How do you deal with things like latency?
Well, it's not much of a challenge for us just because, again, we've kind of figured it out over the years. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I ever did in the hologram effect, I'm using finger quotes, you can't see me, but when I say hologram, whenever I do like a panel or something, or when I'm doing showing the technology and I say something hologram, and then there's always one guy like 10 rows back saying, you know, that's not a real hologram. So now I do the finger quote. Yes, I generally say, thank you, Mr. Wizard. Everybody, it's Mr. Wizard. Thank you for, shining some light. Yes, you've figured me out. You've got me. You caught me. Yes, yeah. It is not a hologram. It is a holographic effect. I use the word hologram. Many of us do in the industry just for the sake of time, for the sake of not having to educate. It takes too much time and effort to really try to describe what it is that we do. But I think people, for the most part, just understand that it is an effect or an illusion that creates the virtual image of whoever it is or whatever it is in a place that it can't really be. So one of the first effects that I did was beaming Julian Assange out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he was in political asylum. He was basically
hiding out.
I'm trying to be as politically, I don't
want neutral as you can be.
I don't want to upset anybody. All you have to do is look at any of my other social media. You'll know where I am. But
yeah, you're in California, right. So we kind of know where you're going.
So, but to keep this respectful, I beamed him with an amazing group of people. We beamed him out, and we sent him to the United States live as a holographic illusion. We put him on the stage at the Nantucket Project, which is like a TED Talks, and he sat opposite a real life interviewer, Eugene Jarecki, who then interviewed him for an hour, and then he turned his attention towards the audience who was there in real time, and people were raising their hand, and Assange, thousands of miles away inside the Ecuadorian embassy, was pointing people out. Yes, you, sir, with the red tie on in the third row.
Wow.
You have a question? And I mean, that's really what did it for me. I said, wow, this is amazing. I could literally beam, or figuratively beam, I can literally beam a holographic illusion from anybody. I could send anybody anywhere. So that was done with satellite. So that was about a quarter of a second up and a quarter of a second down. So the latency was a half a second, not any longer than what people would expect to see on Fox News or on CNN or on ESPN when someone's coming to you live via satellite. I do live via hologram. Same thing. That's with satellite. But when I beamed Jimmy Kimmel to the Country Music Awards, and when I started beaming award winners back to Los Angeles to either be a guest on or perform on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, we used fiber, and that's the speed of light. I mean, there is no latency with that. I challenge anybody to try to see any lag or delay when you use fiber. But the thing is, Hologram Portal is preloaded with dedicated routers and really cool, back-end equipment. If you have a high enough broadband, you can plug in and do it via internet, just like we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm fiber at my end. Well, at least I'm told it's fiber.
Yeah, well, there you go. See? See? Even guys like us, we know how to figure it out. It's the same thing. Instead of doing it on an audio podcast through this cool system that you just taught me all about, we're just doing it using 4K video and just doing it in real time that way. It's kind of fun watching people's reactions when somebody materializes in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm one of those guys. I'm not the guy in the 10th row who says, it's not a real hologram, but I do tend to point it out when I'm writing about this stuff because people need to understand what is and what isn't. And it just matters. And I see some stuff out there like those spinning LED light wands that are calling themselves holograms. And that's like a bazillion miles away from being a hologram. I would imagine, because you've been working in this space with stuff that's in air quotes, a hologram, that you've looked at real volumetric displays and light field displays and things like that. Is that anywhere near close to being commercially ready?
Well, if you're talking about like the Looking Glass Factory, and I think Sony just did something, or I am in love with these light field displays. I love what they're doing. You'd have to ask them if they're near ready. I think they look great. I wish that there was a, I wish I could do that. I think it's beautiful. These light displays. The problem with that is you can't do it live. You can't send anything live there, just because of the technology that's going inside. You just can't make them large enough. And if you did make them large enough, then you might as well just do the hologram technology, like the Tupac stuff that costs millions of, I mean, it's just, it would be too expensive, to implement. But I love volumetric. We've tested some volumetric stuff out on my displays, and it looks amazing. My displays come with touchscreen, so for like trade shows or conventions, or if you want to get somebody to come into your booth and like go right up against a hologram portal, we can enable the touchscreen. So if you have something that's volumetric, people could rotate it or mess around with it or zoom in. You know, so we could still have a volumetric effect without taking up all that data.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Because you're using an LCD, are you constrained by the size, the largest size of a typical LCD, which I believe is 120 inches diagonal?
So we're always working on research and development. We are not using any, I'm not even white labeling my displays. We're actually modifying what we've worked with in the past without revealing too many secrets. It's not easy to create a giant transparent LCD at this quality. You can't get one this size. It just doesn't exist. So but we're working on larger displays because there are some sports that have very large athletes that might not look that amazing inside of a hologram portal. For example, if I wanted to put this in the NBA, Hall of Fame, some of the players would probably have to, sit on a stool or, point guards, no problem. But centers, we're having,
Shaq's not going to fit.
Shaq's not going to fit. But that's what's so great about this is every time Shaq doesn't fit, I have to figure out how can I make Shaq fit? And that's why, we've done such a great job with altering and modifying and just upgrading the system from the one that we started with to the one that we have now. The one that we started with, it was boxy on the inside. You saw seams, which I didn't care about. I'm like, look, it's a hologram effect. You're supposed to kind of be able to see through it a little bit, and that's sort of the beauty in it. But it's funny how most people don't want that. They don't want to see through it. They want it to look like a real person, a solid person. So we removed the seams by using, curved, almost like matching the curved psych in a green screen wall. And when you walk around it from side to side, hot spots of light can really affect the, reality of what's happening. So I've just made it even light distribution, no seams, embedded audio, embedded camera. I can call it a completely self-contained hologram projection unit. You could plug, it you take it out of the roadie case, it comes in, you plug it into the wall, and everything turns on and it's ready to go. Super easy.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because we're speaking in terms of being able to move these around with a political candidate or like a record launch into different Walmarts or Targets or whatever. Any kind of sensitive display like that, even if you have it in a touring case, over time it starts to get beat up and you've got something with 18,000 lights or LED chips in there. How do you ruggedize this thing?
Well, the outside of Portal's hologram projection machine is made out of, it's made out of steel. The inside is encased with all kinds of protective, you know, ways of making sure everything is secure. The front LCD panel has a security film over the front of it. The roadie case is foamed up like nobody's business. We've done a lot of, you know, testing. We spent a lot of money trying to break them. We've sat them outside in the heat in case somebody in Saudi Arabia or Las Vegas wants to use it in the desert. We wanted to make sure, yeah, heats up. Okay, so let's add some fans as a backup measure. If it heats up too much, let's make sure the fans click on and then push all the heat up and out through the vents. The LEDs that we decided to use are cool to the touch so that they don't actually cause, you know, any heat at all. So it's safe for permanent installation. And yeah, people will take it from city to city. And that's why, you know, we've actually sunk some money into developing the way to transport it. We also made them a solid piece and not break apart. Originally, I wanted to make them modular, you know, so it's flatter for shipping, it's cheaper for shipping, but then when you get it there, then what? Now you gotta IKEA this thing back together. So, you know, it all, everything has its pros and cons. We felt like we've developed a machine that is the best that it could possibly be right now, and we have, and you know, maybe version 3.0 will have some additional technology and some, you know, we'll have some other designs coming out, not just a rectangle, but we actually have some other designs that we've been asked to customize for people that we think are actually valuable to mass produce as well.
Do you get any pushback from retail design people or museum design people? You know, just anybody who's kind of in charge of the look and feel of the place saying, yeah, this is cool, but I really don't want a big commercial fridge cabinet, you know, in my lobby or in, you know, in the back of my store or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great question. My manufacturing partners are movie set makers, 41 sets in North Hollywood. They build movie sets, commercial sets, they do music videos and reality shows. And, you know, there's a good chance that if you watch TV, you have seen their work, either faux walls or columns or, you know, whatever. They are perfect. I mean, I create these holographic illusions. They create real set design illusions. And so when we do events, when we do permanent installations, we can actually build whatever you want it to look like around it and just cover it like a shell. We could make it look like a tree or a rocket ship or we could just build it right into the wall. So it's just a window. It really is up to what the end user wants it to be and how they want it to look.
Yeah, I guess you could also almost have like a standby screen that takes on the appearance of the surrounding wall, right? So it disappears.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that wonderful idea.
Checks in the mail, right?
Thank you very much.
So what do you need at the front end of this? If you are doing a live, let's say broadcast, for lack of a better term, or holoportation, is it just a like a 4K camera, red camera or something, or can you do it off of an iPhone?
We're working on doing it off of an iPhone. I can't tell you just how many hours we've put into trying to make it easy so that like a regular person can just use their own home equipment. We're getting there. We want it to look so real. So iPhone is not quite there yet. We do use a Sony Red or any other, you know, you could use a 4K camera. We've got some techniques that are kind of built into the production process that add that additional dimension. It's not like a 3D camera or anything like that. These are all kind of regular pieces of equipment. And when put together and used just the right way, using kind of our kind of trade secret magic, you know, secret sauce, it does create that illusion. But I think in the next year, we can develop a production technique using iPhones.
So when you are using a Sony camera, Red camera, whatever, that's getting the stream. Is that running through an on-site appliance of some kind, or is the video going up to the cloud and getting processed via the cloud and then sent on?
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. With live, there's a few different pieces of equipment. My techs and my producers are way better at describing the actual content capture part than I am. I think that they're absolutely brilliant at what they do. But there is a process that will either send it to our machine through whatever transmission technique that is required for it, or but most of the time, of course, everything just gets recorded and then on a hard drive, and then they take it back into their lab and do their dippity do to it, you know, do their thing, mm-hmm. and add this and add additional shadow and create additional reflection, and really, or maybe you want to have them materialize in like a Star Trek character or so. I mean, there's a million different production techniques that we employ. These are all great questions, and you know, I want to say as much as I could without kind of fully revealing our secret. I expect that others, if they haven't already started, I expect others to copycat and try to take some of the market. Mm. And I think that's a great idea. I would because then I'm no longer just a one company industry. It's a, I think it would be great if there were others. It would really prove that I'm onto something and we have created an industry. Hollywood Reporter, one of the first interviews I did in 2013 when we had just started Hologram USA, they called the hologram entertainment industry the next $1 billion business. And I said, okay, good. I am going to stay with this business then. I'm not going to switch careers anytime soon.
So in practical terms, if I wanted to do this with your company, am I renting something, subscribing to something? Am I buying something? How does all that work?
So all of the above, we can rent it, which is something that we do mostly right now. People want to kind of test us out. They haven't really seen this anywhere else before. So they'll do a month test. They'll do an in-store activation, or maybe we'll do like what I did at Comic-Con or what I did at, the Saturn Awards, where I beamed. Saturn Awards were great because, we showed up. The Saturn Awards are basically the Oscars for science fiction, horror, and fantasy. So all of the films that kind of get left out of the award stuff, but still many people, like, they make billions of dollars in the industry, but they don't really get the awards to back that up. So, so the Saturn, we beamed in and a person was in Tokyo, and we put motion capture equipment on her, and using fiber, we beamed her from Tokyo to Los Angeles, Hollywood, as the anime influencer character that she developed called Rin Asobi. And Rin Asobi is an influencer in Tokyo and now becoming an influencer in the West, as an anime, as a cartoon, character, as a cartoon avatar. And so in real time, this real person was being beamed in as a cartoon and interacting with the fans thousands and thousands of miles away in real time with the ability to hear, see, and act. And that really was a fun activation for us to do. But that was a 3-hour event. Mm. So we bring in the machine, we unpack it, we plug it in, we test it. And then when the event is over, put it back in the machine, throw it on the truck, take it back to our warehouse.
Can you give me any sense of cost?
Yes.
I know it depends, I understand, but.
Yes. Yes, I can. I would expect that most people are going to hear the numbers I reveal and say, well, that's too much for me. And that might be true. But consider the alternatives. You know, these giant Pepper's Ghost hologram stages that I was doing cost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars for permanent installations. I'm selling them for tens of thousands.
Yeah.
The low tens of thousands. Renting them for much less than that. So it's not as expensive, but it's less than 10% of what I would normally charge if I were to do some other holographic technique. And it's much better because it only takes up about 8 square feet of floor space. It's a tenth of the cost, and it works in daylight, which isn't something that most other tech holographic, again, every time I say that, just know that I'm doing finger quotes. Most other holographic effect projection techniques require darkness or controlled light or a black background. Mine, you can have it any color you want. You want white? Great. You want it to be in blue or red or, you know, if you're a sports team and you want to match team colors, I could illuminate the entire inside with your exact color. And it's just very simple. There's no setup time. It plugs in. So there you go.
Huh. All right. Well, this flew by. Just one last question. If people want to learn more, where are they going to find the best information?
Well, there's always portalhologram.com. That's P-O-R-T-L hologram.com. I originally tried to get portal with a hologram.com, but that was a $30,000 website. So I figured I'll change my name to make it nice and inexpensive. And so portalhologram.com, at portalhologram on all the different social media. I respond pretty quickly to any kind of questions. I'll also run a hologram demonstration for anybody. I don't care if you're a competitor. I don't care if you're just a fan. I don't care if any reason you want to see this, I will show it to you if you want to come to my North Hollywood showroom. And I love running hologram demonstrations. As you can tell, I'm passionate about this and love talking about it. So if you want to do that, find me and I will show it to you.
All right. That was great, David. Thank you.
Hey, this has been a real pleasure, and it was an honor to meet you. I've listened to some of your other podcasts, and you're really great at what you do. So thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. Take care.
You too.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.